Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium. Our interview is with a guest, pre-recorded, so the events mentioned in this broadcast have transpired already, but because the guests that were at the event are so interesting and provide a very unique resource to all of you who are listening, I decided to keep it in so that you could do some research, look up these people, these presenters, these physicians and healers, and maybe get insights on how you can approach your own healing process. And today we're going to be speaking about many issues with regard to your health with my guest, Immacula Olegario. And she is a commissioner of human rights in Nassau County. And Immacula is also president and CEO of Yes I Can Seminars, an LLC. And she is a life and wellness coach, a holistic health counselor, intuitive healer, colon hydrotherapist, an herbalist, a speaker, author, and she's a TV show host for Living Raw Foods Chef. So I could say a great deal, I'm sure, but we're going to really get into this conversation. She has a blog post, yesicandoittoo.com blog, and a cable vision TV show on channel 115 on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Passion, Purpose, and Gratitude. So I am of a feeling that we are indeed kindred spirits, and we move along the same path in our work. So I'm very, very happy to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's such a pleasure to be here. And a big hello to all the fans.
Excellent, excellent. And I'm sure people will be listening. And you could always go to their website and look up Heart of Mind under today's date for those of you who want to listen or share or download. And you can make sure everybody knows, everyone you know who's in Nassau County and beyond, because people can get on the train. Mm-hmm. You can participate in these events. I'd like to start out, if you could tell us a little bit about your role as Commissioner of Human Rights in Nassau County.
Okay, as a Commissioner of Human Rights, it's not only just health. We also take care of housing, employment discrimination, and any kind of discrimination, mm-hmm. and sexual harassment as well.
Well, that's a lot. And most of us, or many of us, believe that health is indeed a human right.
Correct.
So it makes sense that that would be included.
Yes, yes.
So tell us something about the Nassau County Commission on Human Rights Cancer Prevention Symposium. I know that you yourself are going to be presenting there, but what is the whole thrust and emphasis of this event?
Okay, the symposium is going to be talking about true prevention, because when you have cancer, you have to wait until you have the cancer to prevent. Mm-hmm. But the true prevention is how you eat, really going to the doctor and making sure that you're getting your exams, and the way you eat, the way you live. We also have Salad Master, who's going to be presenting with us, and they are going to teach the way to eat and to really get all the benefit of eating. Mm-hmm. We have the Rotary Club, who Ronnie Kessler is also going to be presenting. He had bladder cancer. And what he did, they used the tuberculosis vaccine in his bladder. They injected him to cancel the cancer in his bladder.
Really? That's very interesting.
Yes, so that's, and then mm-hmm. we have another young lady who is going to be presenting. She's going to be on the panel. Her name is Lison Basile, and Lison had colorectal cancer, and she feels that it's important that people know that it is not something that you should be quiet about. And she did some conventional and some holistic. Mm-hmm. And I have another medical doctor. Her name is Colleen Kentave. I'm not sure which one she goes by, mm-hmm. Sengos or Kentave, but she is a medical doctor. She's an oncologist. She's going to be talking on prevention as well. We have another medical doctor. We are not sure if he's going to be there. He's a GI doctor. Mm-hmm. He actually has a colon hydrotherapy device in his office.
Wow, that's rare.
Yes. And he is in Garden City, and his name is Dr. Christopher Dimitriou. So he will be there also, and I'm hoping that I didn't miss anybody else. Mm-hmm. And my story is going to be highlighted because I personally had cancer. I had colon cancer. Mm-hmm. I went from a size 8 to a size 00, weighing 98 pounds. And I'm now about 115 pounds. I went down about 5 pounds. I'm usually 120. And I did nothing but holistic. I became a raw person. I was already a vegetarian, so I did the Ann Wigmore program. And I also married the Ann Wigmore to the Hannah Kroger, which is parasites and other things, doing Reiki. So all of that is going to be shared mm-hmm. at the event.
Excellent, excellent. And people can get more information. How would they get more information? By what website? Or
they could go on the Nassau County Human Rights Commission website. There would be information there.
Yeah, it says here, NassauCountyNewYork.gov. So on that site, they would find something.
Correct.
You will be able to find something there. But I really would love to go a little bit deeper into your experience and your work, because you are a life and wellness coach, holistic health counselor, and you do help people through some of these issues, but you have this rich experience preserving your own life, really, learning to move through this diagnosis of cancer. So we could start wherever you'd like to start. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about the work that you do? Or do you think you want to go into your experience and how your work played into it?
The work definitely was, I had no idea. I was a hairdresser before this.
Okay.
I had no idea. And I owned a hair salon for 20 years. So I had no idea I was going to go from hairdressing to all of this. But I'm thankful for the journey mm-hmm. of hairdressing, because my days in the salon was hair loss. And hair loss took me to a nutrition to find out the medicine that people were taking that caused hair loss, to stress level that could cause hair loss. And it was a journey. Mm-hmm. And that kind of propelled me to stop looking into the next hairstyle, the next haircut. Haircut is going to be the same. So I stopped learning, and I started to go into the holistic field as the hair salon was still mm-hmm. alive. And I would recommend my clients to go get colon hydrotherapy, and I was getting colon hydrotherapy. I was looking to see, to heal from the inside out. Mm. And that healing started when I went to, my daughter recommended this young lady to me. She's in the city. Her name is Naseem. And she started to teach me. She says, "Oh my God, you love this so much. Let me start teaching you." And when I got sick, she helped me save my life mm-hmm. along with my mentor, Hayowata Cromer, who is all the way in Michigan. Mm-hmm. But when we met, she felt that nobody would give me a colonic once a week for 6 months. Mm. And I was doing enemas two times a day because I had two masses in my intestinal tract. One near the liver and one in the cecum. Mm-hmm. So there were two big masses the size of a golf ball. So in order to dissolve them, I was doing those things, and I was doing Reiki every day. And Reiki was not something that I even intended on learning. Mm-hmm. And it just called me. And when I started doing all of those things, and I started to see the difference, I have to say, when I first got the diagnosis, the doctor told me there was no hope. And I remember sitting across from him, and I said, "Not in my body." And I rejected the diagnosis. This is not something that everybody will do or mm-hmm. will be willing to do. But I invite you sometimes, but I did not say that. And then, like most people would pray over food, although they know it's bad for them, and they would eat it. I did something. When I called, I was looking for Ann Wigmore Center, and I finally found somebody who was willing to help me. And she says, I'm on my way out of town. I can tell you, what do you have in your house right now? Mm-hmm. Do you? I said, well, I have celery and apple. She says, start doing that. Blend it, sell your stove, get a blender, wow, and start eating. And I literally took her word, and I started blending. And later on, I went to the Ann Wigmore Institute. I started to learn more about it. I read a lot. And I realized what she was doing. I was not doing a lot of time, spending a lot of time to digest the food. So the food was being used as fuel and as just new material to rebuild my body. Mm-hmm. So, and I got the first book that I had was Rebuild Your Health from Ann Wigmore. So those are the things that I started doing. And then that kind of took me into colon hydrotherapy again. Mm-hmm. And I was working at an integrative center, I think where, I'm not sure if Dr. Kokai is still here, mm-hmm, but that's where Dr. Kokai used to work there.
Okay, I remember, yeah.
Yes. And when I told the woman of my life journey, she said, you are natural. We're going to start you doing colon hydrotherapy. So that's how I started with Barbara Chivas, who taught me colon hydrotherapy. Mm-hmm. And now I'm on my way to become an instructor. I had no idea that the journey was going to take me there. Mm-hmm. And then in between, I'm doing Qigong, I'm doing so many other things. I became a raw food chef. I went all the way to Jamaica to learn it for 2 weeks. It's like I was on a journey to health and healing. I wanted to first help myself. And I have to say, the first time I really had such a connection with God, who told me, woke me up in the middle of the night. I'm like, okay, no. I was burning with heat. And I'm like, okay, I'm not menopausal. Mm-hmm. This is not it. That's not the way I've heard everybody describe it. And when I woke up, I had just purchased 3 books. Those books were on my bed, and one of them was the wheatgrass book. Mm-hmm. And God said, go to that book. And I read part of it, and it says, okay, now go to the Bible. I says, God, I'm Catholic. I don't know the Bible. Mm-hmm. He says, go to Genesis. So when I got to Genesis 1 verse 29, where it says, behold, I have given you all the fruit-bearing seed, all the herb-bearing seed, which is upon all the face of the earth. To you it shall be your meat. After you heal yourself, he made a covenant with me that mm-hmm I would help others. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my doing. I would say God has really guided me through this journey. And I'm happy that I was not angry or upset that I had to go through this near death, mm-hmm, to come up on the other side and be happy and to be a different person, because cancer is an invitation for you to make a change, to embrace yourself. It's not a death sentence. It wasn't for me, at least.
I can see that very clearly because you're sitting here beautifully and radiantly healthy. So, you know, in light of what you've learned and integrated, what is cancer really? What do you think it is? How is it? Is it an accumulation of just poor behaviors? Is it emotions? Is it spiritual? How would you describe what it really is?
To me, it's all of it. Mm-hmm. Because when it happened, first I became a vegetarian in 99. I was already on the health kick. I had gone to a Tony Robbins Life Mastery, where I felt like I was healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to do more colonics and started to eat better. And that was also the reason why I'm alive today, because at this event, I felt so good because it was 2 weeks of energy soup, which is what Ann Wigmore, mm-hmm, Dr. Ann Wigmore called it, and no food. And I felt so good, and I had so much more energy. And I asked Shor, who was presenting, I says, how do I do this? Because I can't afford to come to do
and
this
which,
all the
which
time.
Which event was this at that point?
That was Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm.
And that was in Vieques in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And Shore told me, oh, it's the Ann Wigmore program, but we cannot call it the Ann Wigmore program. People had to go there to learn it, but we have to do it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow. I was already on that health kick, but soon after, my mom was diabetic, and that's why that's another thing that we're going to be presenting on,
mm-hmm.
with because I'm passionate about those things, because I know people that are very close to me. There's not one person right now who could not tell me they know one person who has cancer or they have it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when I started to change my ways, and I'm like, wow, this is good, but after my mom passed away, the emotional trauma brought on that cancer, because my mom was home. She came home from dialysis on Friday. Saturday, my son took her to the hospital. Sunday, I went to see her after work, after the hair salon. Then Sunday, I went back to see her. I was supposed to go away. I did not go away because I didn't want to leave her. Monday, Tuesday evening, my mom waited for me at the hospital, and she was in a coma on Tuesday.
Wow.
I mean, the trauma of that and the stress, I was so devastated. I was in a functional depression for 6 years, mm-hmm. after my mom passed away, because then I'm trying to heal myself and I'm trying to do everything. It's like I lost my bearing.
Mm-hmm.
The lifestyle had already started changing it. We do have cancer every day, but if your immune system is not strong enough, you cannot kick the cancer out. And that's what I strive to keep my immune system healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that doesn't serve me, I'm not going to carry you along with me. I'm sorry.
Mm.
I have a light disposition. My heart is light. I have nobody that I could say today that I'm angry or I hate or mm-hmm. I have resentment towards. Because when that happened, I took care of everything.
Mm.
Everything. I wrote a letter to my brother, everybody I was a victim, because I'm mm-hmm. not a victim. So I had to take my power back, because when you're powerful, when you don't feel like somebody is doing something to you.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a rebirthing for me compared to when I was in the hair salon. I personally had hair loss, and I was like, I can't go to somebody else to take care of my hair. So I had to find ways, and that's how I became. I was self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
I created things to take care of hair loss, and I was very successful at it, because that was my personal challenge. And I had to look at, okay, what is your nutrition like? Okay, what is this like? What is your stress level? You know, I didn't have any hormone problems, but you know, I had to do that. But with cancer, it was different. I didn't feel that way. Some nights I would go to bed. I didn't know if I was going to wake up the next morning.
Wow.
My lips had turned black, and I don't have a lipstick on, mm-hmm. and you don't see any black on my lips. My lips had turned totally black.
Mm-hmm.
My liver was so inflamed that it was protruding. One side of my stomach was protruding. So this is real. And in the meantime, I did not have health insurance. I was able to go to the doctor, and this doctor now is no longer here. He died of cancer.
Wow.
Okay. And I'm still here. And he told me, he says, you're on the right track. He did tell me that. He mm-hmm. was the only person that I told the truth of everything that was going on with me. My children didn't know.
Wow.
The person that's in my life didn't know. I didn't tell anybody what was going on. So I knew for sure if I told people, they would probably start feeling sorry for me. And I did not want that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had too much inside of me. I knew God had already spoken to me. I knew I would be here. So
that's beautiful.
You know how it is when you, the consciousness, if you hold somebody in a light, you're giving birth to it. Mm-hmm. So I knew my faith was it was unmeasuring faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want anybody to have any doubt, because it's the opposite of faith. Right. And I don't want any doubt on what I was trying to accomplish.
And that, I think, is what happens very often, especially if one chooses to take their own path. Absolutely. Everyone is trying to convince you and take you back into that state of fear about your choices, and that compromises what it is that you've chosen. And, you know, and I'm not saying that as a judgment to anyone who's listening. Right. Everybody can know their own path. It might mean taking part of one conventional and then doing the other things to build your immune system. People make different choices for different reasons. Right. So I don't want to say that in order to make people doubt themselves or feel bad.
I totally agree, because I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. If I'm working with someone, I inspire you, but I don't tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
That's important.
That's very important. And because we don't know what their relationship is with their creative force and what journey they're on. And a person might be going a certain path, and when they become triumphant in that path, then they have that to teach. So who am I to tell someone what their path might be?
Right.
But I think it is important to be there when we can to support a person in whatever that choice might be. So I understand what you are saying very, very well, and I appreciate the way you work with people. And so I want to go a little more into this. I find you to be quite inspiring, and it really also speaks to energy. You spoke of Qigong. I'm a Qigong teacher, energy healer, as you are. And all of this world has so much more to do with than what we look at in the physical realm. There's so much more going on in our lives and in our experiences. I want to talk about that as well, but you can give out information if you like, if you want people to contact you directly about your work, because you do consultation. So anything you want to give out in terms of a personal contact, you can do that now.
Sure. You could reach me at Immacula, I-M-M-A-C-U-L-A, yes, period, Oligario, O-L-I-G-A-R-I-O, at gmail.com.
And we can offer that information again before we are finished with the process. And I think it's really interesting that you were on this journey, but it gave you all these different ways of bringing things in. And so can you speak about integrating some of this stuff, and how were you able to do this without being rigidly obsessed? Because I find that when I'm working with people who are very knowledgeable about nutrition, about diet, raw food, whatever it is, there's sometimes a rigidity that sets in that almost undermines the good work that they're doing. And it strikes me that you've been following this path very flexibly and expanding gradually and in mixing. So maybe speak about that a little
bit. Okay, I'm glad you asked that question, because I wasn't always that way. I lost so many people. People would pay me and they wouldn't come back, because I found that I thought it was the only way to heal was raw food. But now I'm very flexible. Although I never impacted my kids to tell them you have to change, or anybody around me, I always respected their way. But if somebody paid me, I felt like I was obligated to let them use the crutches, which is me, and then change. However, this was not a good way to do it. When I started to look around, because I'm very objective, I looked to see, okay, people heal with other methods. How did I start my healing? My healing started with my mind. I believed I could do it. So I was also obese. I was 180 pounds. Mm-hmm. And in my days of the hair salon, working a lot of hours, just eating a lot of bread. I love bread and I love rice. So I was able to lose the weight and stay 10 years at between 140 and 150 from 180. Mm-hmm. So I know it's possible. So I had to go back to my old days to say, okay, raw food is not the only answer for everybody. People have to eat. Not everybody's going to be raw. Mm-hmm. Like today, I came down, I have my smoothie. Mm-hmm. With me. But, you know, not everybody's going to be so committed. And we're talking about 12 years later. I'm still that committed. So it had to cause me some pain to know that that wasn't the way. And each person have their own individual wants and needs. So what I am to them is to meet them halfway and help them on the journey. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be my way or no way. Okay, where would you like to start?
Exactly. So obviously you were working through the spirit and connection to source. That was a big part of it as well.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the peace that comes through me now wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm accepting of people. Well, this is your personal journey. Mm-hmm. I can walk alongside you, but I can't walk that journey for you.
Exactly. Beautiful. So we're going to try it again.
Yes, hi. Just want to make a comment.
Yes, go right ahead.
I just want to thank you very much, both of you, for this fabulous show and very informative. Could you repeat the blog again, please? I didn't get the blog.
Your blog?
Immaculata.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on www.yesicandoit2.com, and you could go to the blog.
And then you write there.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. How does one find more information about the Ann Wigmore facilities? Were they destroyed in the hurricane?
They weren't directly affected. Some of the teachers were. I received the email. They are getting back. They are getting back on track. Yes. Thank you for asking.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Thank you. You too.
Amazing journey, and thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hi, my name's Julie. I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing, and it just resonates so well with me because now I'm really learning about raw foods and how to really implement that into my diet because I'm dealing with some major health issues as well. And what she just shared is just so amazing because so many people don't even know that they can eat so healthy and so colorfully with food dehydrators. I just went to a beautiful retreat upstate. It's called Millbrook, New York, in Millbrook, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Beacon of Hope. And it was just so amazing. He taught me about the saunas, the cone, the whole thing that she's sharing, and it's just right here up in Millbrook. And when I came back, I tried to do some more research about, you know, the whole thing with the vegan lifestyle and just you know, the whole thing about nature and life. And we're just so blessed that God has given us so much. And it's just so beautiful that you're doing this because we need a lot more of this so we can be more conscious of what we have on this planet. We have so much. God has really blessed us. And sometimes we're so detached. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome. So for people who may not know about Ann Wigmore, maybe you could tell a little about that.
First, I learned about Ann Wigmore. That was in 95. The Ann Wigmore Institute is in Puerto Rico, but the reason why I learned about the Ann Wigmore was because I had read a book on Ann Wigmore, Health Mastery in Puerto Rico. I learned more about the Ann Wigmore. Then came my mentor, Hiawatha Cromer, who is in her 80s now. She still drives. She still, I think she comes to Jersey every year, and I make it my business to go see her. And then I went to the Ann Wigmore Institute in Puerto Rico. They also have one in New Mexico, and which is the foundation itself. And it is, they had one Creative Health. And I mean, it's a lot of them. And I would be happy to share. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but anybody wants to call me, I would definitely share that information.
Excellent.
But it's sprouting. It is doing the energy soup, which is now called the green smoothie because Victoria Butenko has made it more palatable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it all started.
Okay, and I believe we have another call on. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, nice. I'm glad I caught it. I really want to go out, but I think I'm going to give it to y'all. I'll stay until this is over. I was just going through something with myself. I've been fighting for a long time. I want to just start juicing instead of just, you know, like food. Like, you know, I just felt like that would be better for my blood pressure. So I'm hearing you, and I'm just wondering, like, how many days did you go on the road with, like, or do you go on the road with just juicing as opposed to food? Like,
Since 2006, when I was diagnosed, I have been doing green smoothies every morning. That's how I start my day. And I would leave it with everybody who is listening right now. Would you join me for 40 days? Because that would make a difference. If you could do 40 days of green smoothie, and I can give you a quick recipe, either.
Yeah, please do.
There's the pineapple surprise, which I like so much because most people are familiar with pineapple. You could do 3 cups of spinach, 2 cups of pineapple, and I use moringa, which is a tree that I use the powder, a quarter of a teaspoon, start with that, and more moringa than that. And I use something called baobab. Baobab is a fruit that grows in Africa, and it's the inside of the fruit that's pulverized. It is a prebiotic. I use that, and then some flax, and blend it, and that would be your breakfast. And I have been using smoothies for 12 years, like I said. Mm-hmm. And that's how I start my day.
That's beautiful. And it strikes me that I don't have those ingredients. But I'm remembering your story of the celery and the apple.
If that's all you have.
If what you have is where you start.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever you have.
All right. Thank you, caller. Is that helpful?
Yeah. It's nothing but a winner. I mean, everything, you know, the whole show is a winner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. And next year, we will be doing some shows, some symposiums with the Human Rights Commission, along with the Health Department. And we don't know who the partners are going to be yet. But we will be doing on diabetes prevention, on blood pressure, heart health, mental health, and obesity, and all kind of things to autoimmune, which is something that's very new now. So many people have it. So we will be doing more of those symposiums.
That's excellent. This past year, I did a program in the Bronx Community Health Network, where I was training trainers to do the basic fundamental meditation and Qigong with the people that they do outreach with. Okay. And I think it's really important that we really build into our community work a way to extend that so that people are empowered to learn it and to be able to share it as well. And I think it's really, I have a lot of respect for what it is that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's take this next call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Am I speaking to you, Makla? Hi, Makla. This is Brother Kadir.
Oh, my God. How are you? How did you find me?
Oh, I listened when I heard you on the radio. I said, well, I got to call in to say hello.
Wow.
And to actually really make a comment about how you really helped me and some of my friends, and how your treatments and your warm, tender touch and everything has been so helpful to me. Every time I'm always talking about you to all of my friends, you know, and always want to refer them to you. And I'm sure some of them have called you.
Yes. Thank you so much. And Brother Kadir has a radio show. And he's had me on the radio show.
Oh, wonderful.
And last year I was doing some healthy eating, correct?
Correct.
And he was a part of the the in attendance.
Beautiful. And where is your radio show, Brother Kadir?
Oh, we were at WHCR. You guys was up there with us.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were up there for a while.
I want to say, Immaculate, when you do that again, the healthy eating,
okay.
And I'd like to be a part of it. So just keep me in touch. And anybody that's listening, this woman knows what she's doing, and she's very gentle and very kind.
Oh, thank you so much, Kadir. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was lovely.
Oh, wow.
That was very lovely. Well, we are approaching the final moments of today's program, but I have to say I'm so inspired by having you here. And it's nice to realize that there really is this community of I think many of us who are bringing healing into the world, who are doing what we can to make a difference. And sometimes it's encouraging to know that we each other exist. It really does help. So I'm very grateful that I was able to hear about your work. And actually, you were recommended to me, so I was really glad to receive that information that we could make this connection.
Yes, absolutely.
So again, my guest is Immacula Olegario. She is the Commissioner of Human Rights. And give out your contact information again for people who want to reach you directly, because you are a life and wellness coach, a holistic health counselor, intuitive healer, a colon hydrotherapist, an herbalist, a speaker, an author, and a TV show host, and a living raw food chef.
Yes. My email address is Immacula, my first name, Immacula, period, Oligario, O-L-I-G as in George, A-R-I-O, @gmail.com.
And I want to thank you very much for being with us today. It's
thank
been a pleasure. And for those of you who are tuned in, I'll just remind you that you're listening to Heart of Mind. Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. For those of you who want to connect with me, please send an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. heartofmindradio@gmail.com if you want to connect on any of those levels. And I invite you to go make yourself a smoothie. Hope you enjoyed that segment featuring Immacula Olegario, and her website is yesicandoittoo.com using the numeral 2 at the end. So stay tuned for our upcoming segment. Our opening theme was Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark. And that little clip was Enchantment by Alchemy. And music coming up, Pure Consciousness by Vargo.
If there is nothing more than silence, nothing more, you will be able to get in touch with yourself. Get in touch with the self is connected to every kind of being.
Every kind of being is connected.
It is the source of evolution. It is the source of all ideas.
All ideas.
It is pure consciousness.
For the final segment of today's show, I'm going to share something a bit more whimsical, but true. It's a poem, a mystical poem, of a lucid dream by myself, Catherine Davis, and it's called Fragments of Ascension. As time flows, I remember less of my physical life than my dreams and visions. Their fragments piece together a much bigger story of existence. We all share in this as we come to member the fragments, we come to know who we truly are. This story begins in being woken from sleep with the urgent words, "Get up!" Bewildered for a moment, I looked around and saw no one in the room, but with a glance out the window, I saw them, a huddled mass carrying their torches of fire. Instantly reacting and shrinking back, again I heard the voice, "You have to leave, go as you are, go now!" I began to remember and understood. Just yesterday, I had climbed to the top of the cliffs in despair. I stared out at the sea, the sky, the surf, and the rocks below. I stood for hours amidst the winds and salt air, pondering the truth, the lies, and my utter confusion. Finally, in exhaustion, there was surrender and letting go into the end. As my feet slipped off the edge, I merged with the wind, felt its power and strength, as within it I was carried to the sea. And the sea took hold, it lifted me up and carried me back to shore. Through gaping eyes, I slowly walked home and quietly shut the door. I opened it again and quietly slipped out and walked directly toward my fate. Sure, they would see me in my white gown, but their eyes were fixed on their malintent as I slipped through their raucous crowd. As I stepped into the darkness of woods, I caught scent of my cottage burning. Before I could think of where to go, a man quite plain stood and spoke. "We've been waiting for you." He took my hand and guided me into a boat. Another appeared, and together they oared, taking me back to the sea. We oared through a fog so dense there was nothing I could see, till by chance I looked up where the blackness opened into a brilliant scene. I watched as I turned into mist and reached myself up where I mingled and merged with the stars. Then rained myself down to be formed again while still hidden in the dark. Upon a new shore, someone took my hand. I saw the hand of a different self. Walked glistening streets through wondrous crowds till I came to a structure with stairs. I climbed to the top where I found a soft room with light shining in from the sun. I saw a being in the distance, curled and folded into itself. As I came close, he stood and turned toward the wall, gripping it for support. I felt his trembling in tenderness, not fear, so I embraced him. But his trembling did increase, and before I could speak, he melted away and poured himself into my heart. I interpreted this experience, and I do say experience, it was so much more than a dream, still vivid and present for me, even though this experience occurred in 2015. And I interpret this lucid dream as part of an awakening process in this life, in which I began and have begun to remember and merge with past experiences, other places, other beings, other lives. But in this particular experience, it seems that there was some trouble between myself and the townspeople, and I took a leap or slipped off a cliff. And it would seem that my beingness remained awake and alive. When I first had the dream, it hadn't occurred to me that this was an experience of transition between lifetimes. And I say this because of the very vivid experience of walking through the crowd in this white gown, which may have represented an afterlife experience, though in that experience I didn't recognize that initially. And being shepherded into this boat and taken out to sea is very similar to some of the archetypal transitional spaces in terms of going in a boat through the water. This is what we see in the Egyptian cosmogony. But then once in the boat, I experience myself transforming into different forms, reaching into mist and becoming mist and mingling with the stars, then becoming rain and falling back down into the boat, into a presence, an embodied presence. But when the boat reached shore, I had only seeing my hand saw that it was a different hand, and recognizing I was a different person and in a different space, but not really a worldly space. It was literally a glowing space. And I seemed intent and had the sense that I knew where I was going and what I was doing, even though in the consciousness of the lucid dream, I didn't fully understand. But as I walked to this building, which to me was like a temple, a little bit like a pyramid-style temple, but not with huge steps. There were reasonable steps to climb. But once inside the room, it was very misty, very light, very glowing, which I interpreted as the sun. And the being inside the room, I later realized was that spiritual soulmate or other half, the balancing yin-yang of self. And in that in-between space, between physical experiences, I was able to experience the merging with the spirit into my own heart. It was a beautiful experience, and I only share it, well, I share mostly everything, but it's just to let you know that we can have these experiences. You can make connection to spirit, lucid dreams are real, and if we can begin to recognize them, we can have greater insight into who we are and how we can exist in wholeness in our current lifetime. Underneath the mystical poem, we heard Prayer for Compassion by David Darling, and now we're going to complete the program with another piece by Vargo called Silence. Again, you can reach me by email at heartofmindradio@gmail.com or by phone 347-480-1694. You can inquire about the program on PRN.FM on Saturdays at 6. A different program, slightly different, also on WBAI on Saturdays at 1 p.m. You can also inquire about private sessions or meditation and Qigong classes in various locations in Brooklyn and in Manhattan. Soon, we'll be starting our Qigong classes in the parks, so look for that. And for links and information based on this program and based on my worldly life, go to the archive page at prn.fm for Heart of Mind Radio. Stay tuned for more great programming. Bye for now. Have a beloved and blessed week.
Silence is love.
silent scene is infinity, vibrating silence is creation, expressed silence is beauty, maintained silence is strength. Allowed silence is rest. Received silence is joy. Perceived silence